Hey, you're currently listening to season 3 of the Learn to Code with Me podcast. I'm your host, Laurence Bradford, and this season I chat with a range of individuals who work in tech. FlyIron School's online web developer program focuses on community, actual development tools, and features a curriculum that will teach you the skills you need to land a career as a software engineer. Get $500 off your first month by visiting flatironbootcampprep.com. FreshBooks is excited to announce the launch of an all-new freelancer-friendly version of their accounting software. To claim an unrestricted 30-day free trial, just go to freshbooks.com/learn to code and enter Learn to Code with Me in the How Did You Hear About Us section. Hey, listeners, welcome to the Learn to Code with Me podcast. I'm your host, Laurence Bradford. In today's episode, I talk with Zach Otero. Zach grew up in Missouri and never finished high school. After dropping out, he worked odd jobs and in factories until he found out about Salesforce. Zach ended up teaching himself enough to become a Salesforce administrator. The career switch Zach made is so impressive and demonstrates how anyone can break into tech if they have the drive and resilience to keep pushing forward. Remember, you can get show notes for this episode plus more information about Zach at learntocodewith.me/podcast. If you like the show, make sure to subscribe on whichever podcast player you listen on. If you're feeling particularly generous, a review would be awesome too. Enjoy the interview. Hey, Zach, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Hey, Laurence, it's great to be here.
So could you introduce yourself to the audience?
Absolutely. My name's Zach Otero. I'm a Salesforce admin. I'm completely self-taught. Formerly a machine operator, kind of changed careers a few years ago and got into tech, and it's been a great ride ever since.
Yeah, I'm so excited to have you on. And for the listeners, I recently interviewed Zach for a Forbes article, and after I was done speaking with him, I just knew I had to get him on the show because I think your story is going to resonate with so many people, and you really went against all odds and just transitioned into tech. And I love the story. So let's kind of backtrack a bit. And you were a machine operator at a factory, and kind of like what led you there initially?
I was a machine operator for about 7 years. Before that, I did some other odd jobs. I worked in a warehouse, and I worked in a popcorn factory, if you can imagine that. But I fell into just regular menial work, like machine operation and warehousing, from the recession. There were jobs that were steady and I could hold, and they had provided at least some level of benefits. And that was I stayed in that industry because it was secure through that kind of turbulent time where a lot of people were losing their jobs. It's like, well, I have a job. I better hang on to it. So,
yeah. And just for some context, where do you live again?
I live in Springfield, Missouri.
Okay. Got it. Yeah. Springfield, Missouri is for the listeners. That's where you're based, and that's where you still live today, correct?
That's correct.
Okay, cool. So you're doing these like kind of odd jobs, and you're a machine operator, and I'm sure we can maybe get to this later, but you'd never finished high school. Really impressive. And so you were working in a machine factory. And kind of what even brought you on to tech or Salesforce in the first place?
I have a cousin that was a developer with Salesforce, and he kind of led the charge in finding out what it was and what it could do. And I found out about it through him. He accepted a job offer in San Antonio, Texas, and I was just curious enough to ask him what kind of job he had. I knew he had a similar background to myself, where he was – I was actually homeschooled all the way through school. I never went to public school, and I knew he hadn't had any formal college education. And most people in that situation don't get job offers that take them across the country very often. So since I knew we were in similar situations in that regard, I was just curious enough to ask him what exactly he had stumbled into. Well, it turned out it was Salesforce. I remember very distinctly a long conversation I had with him on the phone about – he explained to me what Salesforce was, what the opportunities around getting into it without a formal background in IT or IT training, where you think some people think you have to have kind of that that formal training, where that you don't have to have that with Salesforce. And he had kind of done it himself and explained all this to me. Well, that was how I kind of got started. And I was kind of skeptical at first as anybody would be. I'm like, you know, that silver bullet, the magic answer, anything that seems too good to be true kind of scenario. So it took me a little while to do some research and really decide that that's what I wanted to pursue. But after a little bit of time looking into it, I really decided to go for it. So
yeah, I think a lot of people I talked to, and I felt the same way when I first started learning how to code, and I was teaching myself too. It almost sounded too good to be true. Like, I don't have to go back to school and get a college degree or another degree or even a graduate degree or whatever it may be, and to make this transition. So yeah, I can definitely relate with you there. And I'm curious, I'm kind of jumping ahead, but since we're sort of talking about it, when you first then began looking for tech jobs, after you taught yourself Salesforce and so forth, did you ever find it be like an obstacle that you don't have a college education or I guess even a full high school education?
Not particularly. It's kind of a specialized skill set, really. And if a company has a need in that, for a person with that skill set, then they're typically, not always, but typically somewhat prepared to negotiate around those hurdles. I've got my GED a few years after I would have graduated, so I'm not completely without it, but I have that equivalency, but I haven't come up against a hurdle because of it yet, so.
Yeah, no, that's really good to hear. And that's, I'm sure, very reassuring for some listeners who may be in a similar situation and thinking that, you know, it may not be possible or it's not for them or what have you. And I know the company I work for, we really don't, I don't even think we ask when people are applying if they have a college degree. It's definitely not something we look for. We look for, as you mentioned already, the skills and, of course, being a good culture fit and, you know, how they get along with the team and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm. Well, when I started out, before I started out, I knew several people. Going back to school was always kind of a thought for sure, but it wasn't really a viable option. I knew so many people throughout between 2008, 2010, through the recession that had good college degrees that were working at Starbucks or working at Walmart or working at, you know, regular jobs just because they couldn't find work anywhere. And that was really kind of scared me off of the idea of going back to school. It's like, well, I don't want to accumulate a mountain of student loan debt and then not be able to find a job to pay it off when we get done.
Oh, yeah, 100%. I actually was thinking of going to graduate school a few years ago and seeing people in kind of similar fields or tangentially related working at restaurants, bartending or something, and they had this, you know, as mountain of debt from grad school, totally scared me too. And I was like, why don't I just learn skills that I can make money with right away?
Absolutely.
Yeah. And there's a demand for all these jobs. So yeah. So let's kind of go back a little bit to when you were teaching yourself and how you were learning. So you discovered tech, you discovered Salesforce, did some research, thought it could be something you'd like to do. How did you begin learning?
It was a combination of things. I kind of tackled it from a lot of different fronts all at once. I started out looking up recorded sessions from Dreamforce, which is the Salesforce conference that they have every year. It's actually the largest software conference in the world. A few years ago, it wasn't, might not have been at that point, but it is now. Salesforce posts tons of their sessions on YouTube, which you can stream for free. And I worked, when I was operating machine, I actually worked underground. I worked a couple hundred feet below the earth, so I didn't have cell phone service. I couldn't just jump online with my phone or whatever else. So I actually ripped the audio track off of those YouTube videos, and I would load it onto my phone, and I would just listen to them on a loop while I was at work. I snuck headphones into my to my work area, and I'd run one up into my ear and turn on those brain off hours into brain on hours and start kind of learning and trying to get started with it. Some of those Dreamforce sessions I listened to probably 10 or 20 times, just on a loop. And then after that, I would go home and try to apply what I heard and hopefully retained in a developer edition of Salesforce that you can register for a free development edition of Salesforce and get in and start orienting yourself and kind of messing with the features and start learning it. And that was, I combined the two together. And I also listen to podcasts. I listen to the Button Click Admin podcast, which is the Salesforce Admin podcast now. But that was a big one, and a few others. So it was a combination of several different things, really. It just kind of went all out.
Yeah, that's so awesome. And I love how you made such great use of your time, like how you were listening to podcasts and listening to other like materials as you were on the job and yeah, just making the absolute best use of that time. That's great. So, and then I also love how you went back home after listening to those resources and actually put the skills into use in like the developer account that you had.
Yeah, absolutely. Because there's some things obviously you can't get from just an audio recording. Without a background, some of the concepts were kind of foreign. I mean, data structure, and you think about these types of the concepts are really hard to get. They're hard to get sometimes when you are online and can interact with it. So being offline completely and just going off of an auditory
it's
really hard. So
yeah. So did you take any courses at all, or did you read any books or anything like that, or is it really just podcasts and like going around and getting yourself acclimated with the account?
It was both. They had some ebooks that were online, some kind of not necessarily the most engaging, almost leap off the page content, but Salesforce provided them their troubleshooting documents and startup guides and things like that. That they have online. I started to kind of dig into that as well. I have a few paper books, like actual hard copy guides that my cousin actually snail mailed me that he had gotten from Dreamforce the year that he went. And so I had those to work through. And other than that, initially that was all. Later on, Salesforce launched Trailhead in the fall of 2014, and it really changed the way that I studied and worked towards actually getting my certification for Salesforce. And that was about the middle of the time I was studying.
Yeah. So, okay, can you talk actually a bit about that, like Trailhead, what that is? Because I'm sure I actually was not familiar with Trailhead until I found out about it through you. And also the Salesforce certification, like what that entails. And also, is that free? I just asked you like 10 questions, but.
No, that's fine.
But yeah.
Trailhead, let's start at the beginning. Trailhead is Salesforce's online training system. Like I said, a lot of that content was out there. It was just kind of disparate, and it wasn't necessarily cohesive, digestible, engaging. So they really put a great amount of effort into gathering up those resources, kind of rewriting them so they're a little more engaging, a little more digestible for the common man, for the layman. And they put it all together in a system called Trailhead. And you could go online and use Trailhead for free. It's trailhead.com. It's a Salesforce website, and it'll help you start to learn Salesforce in a lot different way than how I learned it. It'll walk through the initial concepts and through a lot of the different features of the Salesforce platform kind of in the right order. And that helped to do a lot of things to kind of bridge that relatability gap. It has a very has a very friendly tone. It's very well written. Salesforce puts a lot of effort into making sure that it's engaging and it's very digestible. It's also kind of helped to gamify it. You get Trailhead badges as you work through the modules of Trailhead, and it's very social media friendly. You get to throw your badges up on your Twitter, up on your Facebook, up on your LinkedIn, and show your friends all your progress, which really starts to make it a competition and really makes it a lot of fun when you're seeing not only what you're doing, but seeing what your friends are doing, and you can start those conversations around that as well. And Trailhead also connects to that development org as well and gives you kind of a sampling of data, which was a big hurdle when I started learning, because you can only have test record one, test record two, and an empty database. It doesn't really help you to understand large amounts of data. Like data, working with data at scale is very hard to get that concept in that kind of an environment. But Trailhead provides some sample data, and it will actually create those sample records in your development org, and you can work with it, and it will actually confirm what it's asked you to do by connecting and actually seeing what you've done in that development org. So it gives you the sample data that you need, and then it actually tests or confirms that you've built what it asked you to. So
awesome. And then I asked you, and I should have waited until you're done explaining Trailhead, about the Salesforce certificate and like which you got, how long it took to get it, and yeah, just tell us about that.
Yeah, sure thing. Salesforce offers several certifications on a variety of things. I believe to date they offer 23 certifications in total in different aspects of their product and different varying degrees of difficulty. I started off as an admin, just a certified Salesforce administrator, and it's I believe it's generally accepted that that's a pretty good starting point, unless you're already have kind of a jump start on the development side, and that's more where you're attuned. But as an admin, everything's declarative. There's no coding really involved, and that was what really made Salesforce itself accessible to someone like me without any coding background. All these declarative features and all the configuration in the product is button click, point and click. So, but the certifications are not free. You have to pay. You have to pay for the testing, but there's no prerequisite involved, which was another big thing for me without having any of that IT background or having that either formal education. There's no prerequisite to actually take the exam and become certified. So that was a big plus for sure. From there, I got my first certification in February 2015. And last year at the Dreamforce conference in October, I got two more. Actually, I picked up my advanced administrator certification and my platform app builder certification with Salesforce as well. And they have a great resource online to get in and start looking through their certifications. But administrator is a great place to begin, and it's certainly a skill set that's very in demand right now, even globally, not just in the States. So.
Sit tight, podcast listeners. We're taking a quick break to hear a word from our sponsors. Flatiron School's online web developer program, community-powered bootcamp, and free bootcamp prep courses are perfect for anyone interested in a career change and becoming a developer. Flatiron students come from a range of backgrounds, from financial to creative. What they all have in common is the passion, grit, and determination to learn to love code. Flatiron's rigorous 800-plus-hour curriculum will teach you the skills you need to land a fulfilling career as a software engineer. Learn to Code With Me listeners can get an awesome $500 off their first month to get started on that career change. Just visit flatironbootcampprep.com. One online Flatiron student said he'd learn more in a couple of days with Flatiron than a year of computer science classes. If you're interested in learning how to think like a real developer while using tools actual developers use, check out Flatiron's online web developer program at flatironbootcampprep.com and claim your $500 discount. So you're racing against the clock to wrap up three projects, prepping for a meeting later in the afternoon, all while trying to tackle a mountain of paperwork. Welcome to life as a freelancer. Challenging, sure. But our friends at FreshBook believe the rewards are so worth it. There have never been more opportunities for the self-employed, especially in tech. That's why FreshBooks has redesigned its cloud accounting software from the ground up, custom built for exactly the way freelancers work. Get ready for the simplest way to be more productive and organized and get paid quickly. Create and send professional-looking invoices in less than 30 seconds. Set up online payments with just a couple of clicks and get paid up to 4 days faster. See when your client has seen your invoice and put an end to the guessing games. FreshBooks is offering a 30-day unrestricted free trial to my listeners. To claim it, just go to freshbooks.com/learn to code and enter Learn to Code with Me in the How Did You Hear About Us section. Yeah. Okay, so you got your first certification in February 2015, you said. Then you got two more more recently at the Dreamforce conference. When you got that first one, how much time was that from when you started like learning Salesforce to when you got the certification?
It was about a year. It was about a year, really. And that was between – I actually failed it once. I tried it in the summer, and I failed it and got kind of frustrated and didn't pursue it for a month or two in there. But I decided to kind of double down on my efforts and go for it again. So it was – but overall, it was right about 12 months. So.
And when you take the exam or the test or what have you, is that at a physical location or is that online?
It can be both. They provide the exams at qualified testing centers. They're all over the United States. You can take it. It has to be in a proctored environment, but you can also take it online and proctored as well.
Got it. That's interesting. Okay, I wasn't sure about that. Yeah, I mean, the testing centers are like where people will take, I think, like the GMAT, the GRE.
I believe so.
Yeah, and a lot of, I think, like teachers who have to take tests often as part of like the requirements, I think they go there as well. So okay, so it wasn't just like a test online that in your pajamas you actually went to like a center or something where it was proctored.
Well, actually, I took mine at home. I took mine Proctored online. So yeah.
Oh, Proctored online. Oh, but how? I'm sorry. Okay, totally veering off. But just this is interesting. How do they make sure you're not like cheating or something?
You have a webcam feed.
Okay. Got it. So that's what it means.
The rules around it are pretty strict, as I recall. You can't stop at the middle. You can't have to be able to see your hands. I believe most of the time you can't take notes. It's pretty rigorous while you're actually taking the exam. I think it's pretty focused. You're not going to be doing anything. So I believe it's a live proctor as well. So
got it. Okay. That's really interesting. I'm learning a ton right now. How long did it take to get the certificate? I'm sorry, that was worded wrong. The actual exam itself, like how many hours was it?
Oh, it was 90 minutes. That was it. It was it's a 60 question exam. It takes 90 minutes. And the only disadvantage, well, at that time, I believe they've since changed this. At that time, there was no scoring. It was just a pass fail, and you didn't actually get your results back, which was kind of frustrating, especially the one time I did fail it. You just either get the information that you passed or you failed, but you don't get your grading on the different subjects because it's broken up into different topics, obviously. But I believe now they do give you your results, so you know where to kind of focus your effort if you don't pass it the first time.
Got it.
But it wasn't an all day affair for sure.
Okay, cool. Yeah, I'm thinking like SATs or like some of these other tests that it's like a 5-hour thing. I'm like, oh,
yeah,
it
wasn't quite that intense. So
yeah, but that's still, I mean, it's still pretty intense. 90 minutes, 60 questions, and that's great that they, or at least we think that they now give you the actual like grading breakdown and questions you got wrong or right. So
yeah,
that's cool.
Sure.
So when you were learning over this period and as you're taking the certification and all this stuff, how did you stay motivated?
Oh, well, it's not easy for sure, but I can kind of, I owe that to my wife. She helped kind of keep me motivated there for sure. There was a lot of times I wanted to quit and she wouldn't have that. But there was also the pressure. I could feel I needed to do something a little more, a little bit more lucrative. Honestly, I needed to have a little more control over my career trajectory. My son was born in 2013. That also kind of added to it. You start to think about your health benefits and your retirement savings, and all these things become really, really much bigger concerns after you start to have kids. But I knew that. Factory work is always kind of volatile. There's never any guarantee of – well, there's usually a somewhat of a guarantee, but there's always kind of that aspect where you don't know if something could change because you're not in a level to know that. So with I actually had my position – the factory that I worked in was actually closed in the month after I got my certification. In January 2015, I was given 60 days notice that the factory that I worked at would be closing. And then the next month was when I actually was able to get my certification. And after that, I was out of a job. So those fears kind of really manifested.
Oh, yeah.
In reality.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure. Yeah. After hearing you had, 60 days left at your current role, I'm sure that really gave you that extra push at the end before you took the certification exam.
Definitely.
So there was something else that you mentioned when we spoke last time, and I would love you to talk about this as well. So while you were learning, you were part of a pretty active Salesforce community. I believe you said it was a meetup. Could you talk about that a bit?
Absolutely. I'd be happy to. Salesforce really is very ingrained in the idea of community, and they're huge proponents of their own community of users and the community of people that use Salesforce and help to have a role in the Salesforce ecosystem as their admins, as their developers, as their architects, not just as their customers and their users. And to that, they help to organize and sponsor user groups internationally. There's several in Europe. There's several in India. There's some, I believe, in other countries. France, I know, is a big one. Germany, I believe. But all over the states and most major U.S. cities have a Salesforce user group that you can find online through the success community of Salesforce, which is success.salesforce.com. And I was lucky enough to have one right here in Springfield in my hometown, and we're one of the smaller ones in the country. There's only about 20 to 25 members, give or take, but I got really engaged there in meeting people and networking, and I I actually burned up most of my vacation days from my former position. I was going to the user group because they'd have meetings in the afternoon or meetings, say, for lunch whenever these people were available. So I'd take off from work for the day, go home and put on the only suit that I own, and I'd go over to the user group and start networking. It was a really strange kind of polar shift from the morning to the afternoon. But it was a really great investment in building those relationships with those people, because that's actually where I met my future boss. And that's how I actually landed the position that I'm in now. But Salesforce is just really committed to that idea of their community and at being connected. And I think that's really important myself. So as well as their physical meetups and their physical user groups, there's a big community online as well, obviously. So
yeah. I totally agree with what you're saying, how important community is. And it's no surprise to me at all that you've ended up finding your first tech job, your first job relating to Salesforce through a meetup, because I don't know the number off the top of my head, but it's something pretty high that so many positions are filled through referrals or people that they know and through their personal network. So yeah, not surprising for me at all.
And yeah, I think it's really central to connect with people that kind of speak the same language. Sometimes, especially in my position where I was doing most of it on my own, if I could find somebody that even knew what I was talking about, was really to kind of have the same priorities and the same issues, it really helped a lot to kind of reinforce my resolve. You asked about what was motivating. Well, if the motivation starts to dwindle, you connect with those people that speak your language, and that really reinforces your commitment. And not just be a lone wolf that out there doing it on your own.
Oh, yeah, 100%. I had a guest on the show, I believe, last season, Quincy Larson. He's the founder of Free Code Camp. And he was saying, I'm kind of paraphrasing, but some of his advice for people learning was to hang out with other developers, because, I mean, just from being around people that are already in tech, they already know these languages, they're especially if you're brand new, they're probably more senior than you. You're going to hear their conversations, and just from that alone, absorb so much. Even if you go to an event where maybe you don't really totally understand what's going on, or how you were listening to those podcasts early on about Salesforce, you mm-hmm. still were picking up on the verbiage and what people were saying, and kind of getting this understanding of the community and the fundamentals and whatnot.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So, what are you doing today, Zach?
Well, I work for a CPA and advisory firm here in the Midwest. Have a large national presence in the Midwest. So, I work in the marketing division, and I help support a group of users that use Salesforce. I love in Salesforce. I love all the process automation that you can do, and some of the cool tools that they have. More recently, I've started to kind of actually attempt to learn Apex, which is Salesforce's programming language. So I'm actually moving towards actually being a real coder. Yay. And I'm kind of trying to get my head around that. That's certainly not easy, but I think I say nothing drives learning new things like a good use case. And once you have a use case to learn something, then it's a little more reachable, a little more attainable.
Yeah, for sure. I definitely can relate with my own job, and getting to learn on the job is awesome. So kind of lastly, do you have any parting advice for others who are trying to transition into tech right now, but from a totally unrelated career?
Yeah, absolutely. It's not impossible, for sure. That's the first thing. It's totally doable. I'm living proof that it's possible. You have to be willing to work hard, and you can't be afraid to work hard and invest those extra hours in learning a skill set, for sure. I'd say don't underestimate yourself. You might be surprised what you can actually accomplish, what you can understand, and what you can attain if you really commit yourself.
Yeah, I love it. Thank you so much, Zach. And where can people find you online?
I stick pretty primarily to Twitter. My Twitter handle is Zach Otero. It's ZACOTERO. I'm the only one on there right now. So if you want to connect, feel free to follow me on Twitter. I don't tweet every day, so I won't be in your feed all the time annoying you. So
all right. Thank you so much, Zach. Thanks again for coming on.
Thanks a lot. Thanks for having me.
I hope you enjoyed our conversation. Again, the show notes for this episode can be found at learntocodewith.me/podcast. If you're listening to this episode in the future, simply click the search icon in the upper navigation and type in Zach's name. His full name is spelled like Z-A-C and his last name O-T-E-R-O. If you like this episode, head on over to my website, learntocodewith.me, where you can find even more awesome code-related content, like my 10 free tips for teaching yourself how to code. Thank you so much for tuning in, and I'll see you next week.